will my knee, will my knee. Wandilabalu, will my knee, will my knee, will. Poco poco, banan banan wandi will money, will money, will money. Poco poco, banan banan wandi. Will money, will money. Dil kai gano, dil kai gano, dil kai gano, bro. Pinangaru andi apa, dil kai gano.
Behind us now, we're hearing Salvatore Martorano's El's Ga for gas masked. El's Ga, or is it El's GA for Gas Masked Politico, Helium Bomb, and Two Channel Tape. We heard a lovely track from Kankawa Nagara called Weary Marni from a record of the same name on Mississippi Records. We heard Gorky Zygotic Monkey's Anna Apera from 1994's Tate. Simply Saucer with the track that leads off their fabulous 1974 release, Cyborgs Revisited. It's called Instant Pleasure. We heard Dean Elliott doing You Do Something to Me. And we did something to Barry Manilow. I found two Barry Manilow records in the library and I thought I'd better do something with them. I'm sorry. Hey, you're tuned to Freeform Radio, WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM worldwide online at WFMU.org. My name is Scott. Very happy to be back here with you on Monday afternoons. Very happy, even happier, to tell you to stay tuned. Our friend Mark Hurst is coming right up with Tectonic. Stay tuned, friends. Bye.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst. I'll be your host for the next hour here on WFMU, Freeform Station of the Nation in Jersey City, in that great state of New Jersey. Glad to be here. Glad you are here with me. Beautiful day outside in New Jersey and New York City area. And that matches my mood today. It's a bit of a celebratory mood because I am marking an anniversary. This show marks 7 years of Tectonic. I started Tectonic in 2017, in this week, second week of September of 2017. And in the meantime, I have, counting this show, I have hosted 331 episodes of this program. And for however many you have listened along the way, I appreciate your attention. I really do. I appreciate the time and attention and enthusiasm. I appreciate the time, the attention, and the enthusiasm that you, the listeners, have shown over the years for my work on this show. And it's just been very gratifying to hear from you along the way about what you've liked and what you've learned, and some questions and suggestions and pointers to articles, and I hope those will continue. By the way, if you ever want to reach me, I'm at mark@wfmu.org. That's M-A-R-K, at wfmu.org. Always happy to hear from listeners, and I'm looking forward to being with you for this long season that goes through, I believe, early June of next year. So that should, if all goes well, take us through the fall and the winter and through the spring, including the spring marathon, which is also always a lot of fun here at the station. And so I'm looking forward to a long season of programming for you and with you, because I'm here with you, seeing how these interviews unroll, and I'm learning alongside you. As I cover these topics, I really am learning a lot as I go through this. And the topic remains the same as it was when the show started in 2017. I'm discussing and trying to explain how technology is affecting all of us. And indeed, many of the impacts that I cover tend to be negative or a little bit scary or disturbing or even depressing, not to say despairing or outrageous or ridiculous in some ways or rage-inducing. Not all of them are in that negative category. Some of the impacts I've covered are amusing or fun or innovative in some way. But, you know, I really feel, this is what I always tell people about the show, I feel like the technology media at large, and I'm just generalizing here, but at large, they tend to cover the positives because, well, for obvious reasons, you know, other media sources are commercially motivated. And again, with plenty of exceptions, but generally, the coverage tends to serve the corporate masters that run the economy. You don't want to say too much negative all the time about these multi-trillion now, you know, companies like Apple are now more than $3 trillion of market value, something that would have been inconceivable in 2017. And there are multiple of those beasts. And so you have to have some compassion for the journalists out there that have some constraints on what they can and can't say in their coverage of technology. They can only go so far in how they describe what technology is actually doing to us. With that said, there are journalists out there that are doing excellent work, and I try to cover them on the show. So I'm not trying to cast aspersions on tech journalism overall, hardly. You know, but I'm just saying that there are some motivations in various corners of serving the corporate interests of the most powerful and wealthy companies in the history of the human race. I just got an email, I'm not going to say, but I got an email from a major publication just this afternoon telling me excitedly about all the things that happened at Apple's giant self-advertising event, which happened, I guess, today, and they announced all sorts of new surveillance devices and surveillance features and things you can do to surveil yourself and upgrade your surveillance. And I'm just frankly not interested in that. I'm not interested in covering it for you. There's plenty of it out there already if you're that interested. But what we don't hear enough of are the criticisms that are really telling the truth about how technology is affecting us and where technology is headed in the future. And these are not merely my own ramblings or opinions getting on a soapbox. There's some of that, of course, but really what I'm trying to do is spotlight the good work of other researchers, journalists, activists, authors who are out there every day trying to gain an audience for the truth that they're telling about technology. And I feel like I at least can stand with them, and I can try on my little platform, such as it is, to spotlight and to amplify what they're doing, which benefits all of us. It's not just for the guests' benefit, it's for all of us, for me to learn, for you to learn, and for the truth to be spread out just a little bit further than it would have been had Tectonic not been around. And so for all of you who have shown your support to the station over the years for the show, I appreciate it because this is a heartfelt project after 7 years. And many of you know, maybe not all of you, but it's common knowledge here at the station that all of us on air are volunteers. So I have done now 331 shows as a volunteer, and it's because I believe in this station, and I believe in the freeform ethos where we are allowed to tell the truth without pressures of sponsors. And I believe in the value of telling you, the listeners, the truth about what's happening in technology, because there are some very, very important truths to be told that generally are not common knowledge, I'll put it that way. So for this upcoming year, or 9 months, whatever it is, the long season, I'm going to stick with that topic. I'm going to continue to try to read a bunch of books and bring the authors on. I feel like books are the best source, not the only source by any means, but the best source that really gives us a deep dive. They're products of years of research by these authors, and they point to other researchers. So anyway, I want to bring on some more authors. In fact, next week I'm planning on having an author on the show who just wrote a novel that in which technology is central to the themes. So hope you'll be here next week for that. But I also I want to include some episodes where technology, a little bit different, it plays a role in the topic of this show, but not the only role in the story. So, for example, if you go back and you listen to the June 10, 2024 show, I interviewed Mark Schatzker, who appeared in a documentary called Food Inc. 2. And true to the name, the documentary was about food and the food system and how processed foods are designed. And, you know, superficially, you might ask, well, why is Tectonic talking about food? But there's a tie-in to technology, and you can listen to the interview to explore that. But that's an example of the kind of thing that I want to get a little more into from time to time this upcoming season, not every week. But the reason for that is because I want to be careful, friends, that I'm not coming at you with the same message week after week. You know, Facebook is evil. Google is evil. You're going to get plenty of that in this upcoming season because they are. But I don't want it to be so repetitive that it gets a little bit irritating, because technology is affecting us in many, many different ways. And just focusing on those four or five toxic sludge factories week after week can get a little tedious. So I have a couple of shows. It's a surprise. I'm not going to reveal them now, but I have them in the pipeline right now that in which the topic is the primary topic is something other than technology. But as we dive in, you'll see that technology plays an important role in the story. So I'm going to be doing that. And with that said, I will also be returning to the familiar key topics because they keep getting updated by the continuing, unrelenting malfeasance of big tech and other companies in the tech industry. So we'll be covering the big tech companies. We'll be covering what happens under monopolies, the antitrust trials, the various antitrust efforts that are going on. The idea of ethics in tech, if that is even possible, which I think it is. And I just did a show on that with Carissa Valles a few weeks ago. But anyway, and then another constant topic, which is this week's topic to start off the eighth year of this show, is, of course, surveillance. And that's something we're not going to be doing every week, but I think it's important that we do talk about this because, in all seriousness, friends, the vectors of surveillance in our lives are continuing to spread and grow and impact us more and more without a concomitant increase in the amount of exposure, again, in your mainstream technology press. We're not hearing more and more and more. You're hearing just a tiny bit about surveillance, but it is really multiplying and metastasizing in our lives and work. And that's something that I want to return to throughout this season. I'm going to start tonight. So with that as a preamble, thank you for going through that with me. I just wanted to mark the occasion, mark the anniversary of 7 years, and thank all of you and give you a look ahead. And with that, tonight, I'm going to be covering even more devices that are spying on you. And I say more, of course, because I've talked many times over the show about the devices that we know are spying on us. You know, just to take an example, I mean, it's just like pulling a card out of 10 decks of cards. Just to pull one at random, and what I got is Amazon surveillance doorbells. These things are all over the place. They are built for surveillance. They are surveilling our neighborhoods. You know, it was supposed to be a doorbell that showed you who was at the door. But of course, when Amazon took it on, it ended up being a tool to allow Amazon to have a look at the street. And immediately they started making partnerships with local police departments all over the country. Now police departments get access to those surveillance doorbells from Amazon. And I could get all the way into surveillance doorbells. We could go into Amazon Alexa devices, which I'll touch on a little bit later tonight. Anyway, this is to say, if you've listened to the show, you should be well aware there are devices all around us that are built for surveillance and are surveilling us. They're invading our privacy, often without our knowledge or consent, and they are feeding the data back to the most powerful companies in the world, who then have government partners who also make use of the data. And often these companies will serve up the analytics based on the surveillance data to any third party who has $50 and wants to know the information in order to stalk you or do whatever they want. There's a market of your formerly private data that is being enabled by the surveillance activities of these multi-trillion-dollar companies and their government partners. Go back and listen to my interview with Byron Tao a couple months ago, author of Means of Control. The whole book talks about the partnership between big tech and government surveillance. Fascinating. So this show tonight is about how even more devices are spying on you, or perhaps the devices are spying on you in even more ways than had previously been covered. And what prompted this was an article from 404 Media, by the way, which 404 Media really bucks the trend of mainstream technology press. They're independent technology journalists, And one of the co-founders, Jason Kebler, has been on the show. You can find him in the archives. They do great work. And 404media.co, I think it is. Anyway, 404 Media published a story last week, or was it last week? Anyway, recently, and a number of listeners sent it to me. Did you see this? Did you see this? And yes, thank you for sending it. I did see it, and it is important for us to discuss. And the story, this was by Joseph Cox, another co-founder at 404 Media. This came out on August 26, so not last week, but recently. And the headline is, here's the pitch deck for, quote, active listening, ad targeting. All right, so we need a little bit of a backstory here, because this story on August 26 was an update to a 404 Media story from December 14 of last year. The headline there was, marketing company claims that it actually is listening to your phone and smart speakers to target ads. All right, so let me ask you this. Let's just step aside here for a second. Have you ever had the experience where you're sitting at home with a friend or your partner or whoever, and for whatever reason, you're having this conversation and a completely, singularly obscure topic comes up in conversation? You know, the example I always like to go to is spatulas. You don't usually talk about spatulas, but let's say you just start talking about spatulas. You know, I really like those new silicone spatulas. Do we need a new spatula? And that's the first time you've talked about spatulas in your operating memory. You know, maybe for the history of the relationship with this friend or partner, this is the first time you've talked about spatulas. And you know where I'm going to head with this, right? 5 minutes later, you open up your toxic social media app, and what ad do you see? What is the first ad, front and center, from that social media feed? It's about spatulas. Have you ever thought you might want to buy a new silicone spatula? 10% off our new line of spatulas or whatever. You know, so have you ever had that experience? And some of you are nodding. I can see you out there. You're saying yes. I can see you nodding yes. And I have too. And, you know, one of these instances happened just a few months ago, and I wish I had written it down, because it was so obscure. And seriously, it was a few minutes later, and I didn't go on to some toxic social media account. I don't generally use those. But I went on to some rando website out there, and those are infected by all the same big tech ad stack, toxic sludge ads as the social media sites. And there was an ad for that same topic, and I forget what it was. And it's hard to avoid the conclusion that somehow our surveillance phones are actually conducting audio surveillance on us, listening illicitly via their microphones. Now, people have asked me over the years, are our phones listening to us? And I have to report what I know from the research that's out there. And there has been no research showing that the big tech companies are doing this. And for their part, they all flatly deny that they're listening in to the phone speakers. And then this 404 Media article came out last December, again, written by Joseph Cox, in which 404 Media uncovered a website that was promoting something called active listening, a new feature for ad targeting. And this was on a website from Cox Media Group, COX Media Group, or also known as CMG. They're based in Atlanta. I think they're part of the Cox Communications family. I think that's a cable company down there. So Cox Media Group was boasting on this website that they had this feature called active listening that said it could listen to microphones on surveillance phones, on kitchen counter surveillance devices like Alexa devices and surveillance TVs. And you might be saying, well, what's a surveillance TV, Mark? Are you new to the show? Let me just tell you how things work around here. We don't say smartphone because there's nothing smart about a smartphone. It's a surveillance phone. There is definitely nothing smart about a smart TV. That's a marketing term. Smart in smart TV is just marketing. What it really means is surveillance. It's a surveillance TV. So anyway, Cox Media Group was boasting that it could listen in. And the companies all said, no, we're not listening. No. And then just on August 26, 44 Media uncovered this pitch deck of PowerPoint or PDF of some sort. And there's this, and this is on the playlist at WFMU.org if you want to take a look at it. The slide I've excerpted, and I've put a red oval and a red arrow on the bullet point. The relevant bullet point says, smart devices capture real-time intent data by listening to our conversations. And that's under a heading of the power of voice and our devices' microphones. So the website uncovered back in December that has since been deleted, but thanks to Brewster Kahle's Wayback Machine at the Internet Archive, we can go and look at what it said. It said, what could it do for your business? This is Cox's language. What could it do for your business if you were able to target potential clients or customers who are using terms like this in their day-to-day conversations? Quote, the car lease ends in a month. We need a plan. Quote, a minivan would be perfect for us. Quote, we need a better mortgage rate. And they give several examples. So they're just saying it. We can listen to the surveillance devices, microphones, without the user's knowledge, certainly without their consent, and then we can target ads based on that data. So what's really going on here? Are they listening? Are they listening? I mean, 404 Media seems to, their research seems to show that there is at least one company out there that claims that it can. Now, the response, this article got passed all around, and it went far enough that the multi-trillion dollar companies all decided to write back. And so Google wrote back and said, all advertisers must comply with all applicable laws and regulations, blah, 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 blah. They're basically not exactly saying it explicitly, but they are, they seem to be... I'm trying to be fair, if that's even possible, to Google, but they're not really answering the question and saying they're not doing it, but they're saying all advertisers must comply with all applicable laws, and it's illegal to surveil people, I think so. Google seems to be saying it's not happening, but it's kind of a weird non-answer, so that leaves the door open. Amazon wrote, Amazon Ads has never worked with CMG on this program and has no plans to do so. That's pretty emphatic. And then Facebook wrote and said, Meta does not use your phone's microphone for ads, and we've been public about this for years. That's also pretty emphatic. So let's just assume Google, maybe they, either they're listening and they gave that weird non-answer because of that, or perhaps they wrote an answer poorly and they want to claim that they're not listening. So this brings us to three possibilities, okay? Because on the one hand, we have CMG that claims we are listening to your phones. And on the other side, you have Google, Facebook, and Amazon. Well, certainly Facebook and Amazon saying, no, we are not. And Google saying, maybe. But let's call that a no for now, just for simplicity of this argument. So we have CMG saying, yes, we're listening. We have big tech saying, no, we're not listening. There are three possibilities. Logically, there are three possibilities. Either they are both telling the truth, or one of them is lying. Logically, you can't have a fourth possibility that they're both lying. That wouldn't make any sense. But let's take the lying cases. Possibly CMG is lying. That's the first possibility. And this wouldn't be the first time, by the way, that a marketing company out there lies about the powers of their system or platform. So what you have is this marketing company, CMG, saying, yeah, we can target your ads. Just pay us some money and we'll give you the consumers that are talking about mortgages or whatever. Maybe it's vaporware. Maybe they don't actually have that ability. And big tech, in this case, is actually telling the truth. That's possible. So you're going to have to, and I don't have, by the way, I'm not leading up to a grand reveal. I'm telling you where I am, so you can make your own decision. That's possible. The other possibility is that CMG is telling the truth, that they actually do have this feature. They do have active listening. They can listen to the phones. And big tech is lying. And I know. Everybody is shocked that these companies that are the paragons of upright ethical dealings and all manner of their business would actually tell a lie on a matter on which a lot of their PR image rests. It's shocking to think that they would actually fail to tell the whole truth. But it is possible, friends, and we've seen it before. So it's possible that CMG is telling the truth, big tech is not. I guess there's a sub-possibility that maybe Facebook and Amazon aren't listening, but Google is, and maybe they get the surveillance data from Google somehow. I don't know. Maybe Google is the source of all the surveillance on the phones. I'm not sure. There's a third possibility, and that is that everyone is telling the truth. And this is where it gets really interesting, because CMG may have the ability to run active listening. They may have the ability to spy on your phones. And it may be possible that Google, Facebook, and Amazon also are not listening. In which case, you have to ask, who is listening? I mean, of course, CMG is doing it, but how is CMG getting access to your phones, to your surveillance phone's microphone? How are they doing it? And I don't know. I do know that there was malware that I covered on the show, or spyware/malware on a show about Pegasus. You can go back in the archives and listen to this. Pegasus is this spyware that came out of an Israeli company that was able to take over any iPhone's microphone without the user's knowledge. But in that case, the users had to click on a certain text message with a malware-infected URL. So that's not what CMG is saying. But is it possible that there's some kind of way, in the manner of Pegasus, to take over the microphones of these phones? It's possible. It is technically possible. I can imagine a kind of technology that could do that. I don't know if that's what's at work here. So this is all to say that 404 Media did us all a service of bringing this to our attention again. First the website, and now a leaked slide deck. There's one other interesting data point here from 404 Media. And again, and by the way, all of this is on the playlist. If you go to wfmu.org, click playlists and comments, you can see the links to these articles. I've put some inline images so you can review those. If you're listening in the future to this show on an archive or podcast, go to tectonic.fm, tectonic.fm, and click the playlist link for September 9, 2024, and you can see these on the playlist. The third article I want to point out from 404 Media, which makes this tantalizingly interesting in a separate way, is from December 15 of last year. This was written by Joseph Cox and past Tectonic guest Jason Kebler. And they wrote, "Company brags about using smart device microphone audio to target ads on their podcast." Here's the thing. This is not about Cox Media Group. This is a completely different company last December that was bragging about the ability to listen in to your surveillance phone's microphone without your knowledge. There was no mention of Cox. They're not a partner of CMG. They're not using active listening. No, this is a New Hampshire based startup called MindSift. And one of the co-founders of MindSift in New Hampshire was on a podcast and talking about how he pitches MindSift to potential clients. Quote, I'll say like, hey, have you ever talked about something and saw an ad for it? We're the guys. That's us. So he was bragging that, yeah, they have the ability to do that, to listen to the microphone. So now we have two companies that have publicly claimed to have access to this technology. Now, is it possible that both of these companies are lying about their ability? Now you got to ask yourself, what is more likely, that both this Atlanta-based marketing company and a New Hampshire-based startup, totally unrelated, would lie about exactly the same feature? Or is it more likely that these big tech companies that don't want egg on their face are lying about what they are or aren't doing to target their ads? Or again, another possibility is it's all Google. I don't know, because they didn't exactly deny that they were doing it. So that's the situation that we have today. Oh, by the way, back to that Cox Media Group. They wrote, it was in a blog post. So this was separate from the website and the slide deck. There was this blog post last November where they have this, I guess, frequently asked questions section. And one of the questions is it legal for phones and devices to listen to you? And they said, yes, it is legal. When a new app download or update prompts consumers with a multi-page term of use agreement, somewhere in the fine print, active listening is often included. So if they're telling the truth, if Cox is telling the truth that they're listening to you, their rationalization is that it's legal because in order to use anything, hardware, software, anything these days, you got to scroll through, or not even scroll through, you just have to click a box saying, yeah, I read and agree to these terms of conditions. And somewhere buried in that legalese is something that gives many companies the ability to spy on you. Which, as a generality, is true. I don't know that it actually says about active listening, as the blog post claims, but as a generality, that is absolutely true, that these terms and conditions are written with wide ability to decide how they want to exploit our data and exploit us in all sorts of ways. So there's yet another data point in which Cox seems to be making the case for something that they really are running. But here's a twist in this whole discussion about these companies that may be listening to our surveillance phones, microphones. Everything that I just told you is the state of the art today, okay? And there is still some uncertainty about what's happening today. We have some indications from the companies about what's happening, and you may have your own personal anecdotes that suggest in your experience that they've got to be listening to you. Okay, so there is some circumstantial evidence that does not build a watertight case, but we have some circumstantial evidence that suggests that yes, these companies somehow may be listening into our conversations on our surveillance devices, which, by the way, indicates that the devices are operating as designed. I mean, they were designed as surveillance devices. And what do you know? It looks like these surveillance devices might actually be used for surveillance of us, which is what was intended from the beginning. But anyway, that uncertainty shows us where we are today. We just don't know. Now I'm going to throw a twist at you. This is the tectonic twist. You ready for it? Here's something we do know about the future. Because we can't just look at what's happening today. We have to look into the future. And the best way to look into the future of technology is to look at what the companies have stated they hope to build to exploit us in the future. Because they are public about that. It may not be here. They may not have deployed it, but we're on that trajectory. The companies tell us every day where they intend to take us. This is why it's important to talk about this stuff. Don't just look at the surveillance device that Apple released today to upgrade your surveillance of yourself so they can feed it into the dossier that they're building on you on their ad stack, which Apple is building on you. Don't look at it today. Look at the trajectory of where we're headed. And one of the ways that you can get a sense of the trajectory of these big tech toxic sludge factories in Northern California and Washington State is by looking at their patent filings. And back in 2018, Amazon patented technology that, let me quote Ars Technica from October 11, 2018. Amazon has patented technology that could let Alexa analyze your voice to determine whether you are sick or depressed and sell you products based on that. The patent is titled Voice-Based Determination of Physical and Emotional Characteristics of Users. And if you look at the patent application that in which Amazon describes this invention and the patent was then later granted, you see this line drawing of this woman peering into a room in her house. Maybe it's not the kitchen because there's a surveillance TV sitting there. So maybe it's her living room. And she says, Alexa, cough, cough. I'm hungry. Sniffle. And Alexa's surveillance device says, would you like a recipe for chicken soup? And the woman says, no, thanks. Now, notice that already the Alexa is picking up on her coughing and sniffling and not asking her what she wants to eat. Immediately, it's offering chicken soup because it has determined that she is sick. So the point here is Amazon got a patent back in 2018 for using voice data from surveillance devices that was beyond the explicit intent or instruction of the user herself. That was a key point. And the reason Amazon, it says it in the patent, the reason Amazon wanted to do this was not to serve users better, not to give them a better experience. What it was instead a way to target more sales, target more products and services, to monetize the data from users' interactions with surveillance devices. So can you think, it is not a very big step at all from interpreting a cough and a sniffle as an opportunity to sell chicken soup, going from there to listening in to what people are saying to the surveillance device and building a dossier and a marketing plan on what to sell them based on that data. The surveillance device, in other words, was always built as a surveillance device to serve the company's purposes, which for a multi-trillion dollar company is growth at any cost. So whatever they got to do to get you to buy more, subscribe more, pay more, submit more data to make your dossier even that much more valuable to them and their corporate and government and third-party partners. You are being used if you are using a surveillance device. You may still choose to use a surveillance device. Maybe it has some value to you, but just know that these multi-trillion dollar corporations are not providing this hardware and software for your benefit. They are doing it to extract value from you, and that is it. That is all. And so when I read these stories from 404 Media that are saying these companies are indicating that the technology is out there to conduct, quote, active listening on us, to listen to our private conversations in order to sell more products, it's like, why wouldn't these companies do this? Why in the world would they not? I mean, in a way, it's like, what took them so long if they're not doing it? Why don't they go ahead and cop to doing this if they're doing it? I mean, Google kind of almost did. It didn't quite deny. Because these companies are based, the companies are based on surveillance. The surveillance data of us builds the dossiers and gets them gives them the means to manipulate us, to exploit us in ways to extract ever more value out of us. And by the way, in the age of AI, generative AI, those words, those sentences, those conversations have a double value because they can also be used in training sets for the next generation of large language models. And who knows what's going to happen when those next generation of LLMs comes out filled with the surveillance data that was hoovered up from surveillance phones, surveillance TVs, and so on with private conversations. And yeah, maybe it's buried in the terms of service right now. You know, those terms of service say we can and will modify these terms at our leisure without notifying you. Maybe it's there right now. Have you taken a whirl through the terms of service for the dozens or hundreds of apps, platforms, websites, devices, and so on that you use every day? You haven't? I'm just saying, the opportunity is out there for these companies whose businesses are based on surveillance to conduct surveillance in exactly the way that CMG Media claims to be doing already. So it is possible that some of the companies may not be listening to you today, but I can guarantee, friends, that the companies, if they aren't listening today, they are making plans to listen to you tomorrow. Because as soon as this surveillance becomes normalized enough for us not to mount much of a complaint or a response when it comes out, they're just going to roll it on out. I mean, do you see the facial scan devices, the palm scan devices that are proliferating everywhere? In stadiums, airports, Whole Foods? Yeah, because it's normalized. People say, well, I started by scanning my fingerprint on my iPhone surveillance device. What's the big deal? They've got it anyway. Oh, you want my palm? Yeah, you've got my fingerprint. Take my palm too. Oh, you want my face? Well, you got my fingerprint, my palm. Take my face. Tomorrow, it's your DNA. You want my DNA? Well, you got my fingerprint, my palm, my face, my earlobe, and my gait. Yeah, take my DNA. Hey, Timmy, come on over here. Hey, take my kid's DNA too while you're at it. You got everything. How about a little bit more? And the companies say, this is fantastic. Nobody's complaining at all. Huh, that's great. And so if you want this trajectory, look at what the companies are saying that they plan to do. Look at what they are normalizing. And so in a way, I really appreciate what 404 Media did. In a way, we don't need to answer the question today that 404 Media posed. Are they listening? It's good to ask the question and look at the data. But what I think is more important is to fix our eyes on what's coming tomorrow. Almost certainly, the companies are going to be looking for a way to listen to us through our surveillance devices. So what this means for you, friends, is be mindful of this. If you want to have a private conversation, you'd better move out of the room. If you've got a surveillance device in there, I mean phone, TV, Alexa, doorbell, seriously, any of those, anything with smart in its name, take it out of the room. Or if it's fixed to the wall, go to a different room, have the private conversation there. I'm dead serious. Cars. Now, cars is a tough one because if you're in a car and you want to have a private conversation, you can't exactly move the car to a different room. Nor can you move yourself to a different room outside of the car if you want to keep driving. Cars increasingly are surveillance devices on wheels. Some people say they're computers on wheels. No. If only the car was a computer on wheels. No, it's a surveillance device on wheels. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? From Fox News. Yep. Fox News, September 4, this is just a few days ago, former guest, past Tectonic guest, friend of the show, Albert Fox Kahn, who founded the Surveillance Technology Oversight Project, was featured in a story called Millions of Americans Impacted by Surveillance Data. Sorry, let's try it again. Millions of Americans Impacted by Surveillance Data Collection in Some Cars. And let me just play you. I'm going to play you just an excerpt of this piece, and we're going to hear what Albert Foxconn says about this.
Well, big automakers are being sued over claims that cars are spying on drivers and then selling that data without their knowledge or consent. Douglas Kennedy is here with more. Good morning, Douglas. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, Dana. People used to use their cars to get away. Now this driver in Michigan wants to get away from her car. So like most people, your car is like your home. You're supposed to feel like it's yours. You're supposed to feel safe inside.
Go on. Amen. Yes, I do. Want to feel safe, and I used to. But I don't feel safe anymore.
In 2020, 78-year-old Michigan grandmother Karen Drews bought this Chevy Corvette. But after a few years of no accident driving, her insurance rate nearly doubled.
There was no reason for them to raise our rates as high as they did.
Karen soon discovered her car had been gathering her driving information, including fast accelerations and hard brakes. So this is a printout of GM's OnStar,
right,
which you didn't sign up for.
Right.
You didn't know they were monitoring
you.
No,
I didn't.
And you didn't know they were selling your information.
No, I did not know they were selling it. And I felt invaded.
Drews is one of thousands now suing GM and other car makers for monitoring drivers without consent and selling private data without compensation, including Lexus, Mercedes, and Tesla.
This is impacting millions of Americans.
Albert Kahn is a privacy advocate in New York. He says web-connected cars are quickly becoming ground zero for a total surveillance society.
Connecting to OnStar.
Where every movement you make behind the wheel can be tracked, whether it's advertisers, insurance companies, or even when police, in multiple cases, have gotten this data from car companies and used it to prosecute people.
GM says it has discontinued smart driver.
Okay, so that was a little bit of this Fox News coverage featuring our buddy Albert Foxconn, who is rightly raising the alarm about the surveillance already going on in cars, multiple brands, as you heard. And, oh, by the way, if you're thinking, well, Fox News, listen, if you want a different channel to cover this story, why don't you send a note to their editors and say, you cover the surveillance in cars. You know, I'm gonna spotlight whoever is telling the truth about surveillance in this show. And I'm happy that at least one channel did cover this. And of course, happy to hear about Albert. The mention of Tesla reminds me of something that came up in the San Francisco Chronicle on August 31st. Here's the headline. Did your car witness a crime? Bay Area police may be coming for your Tesla, and they might tow it. So in talking about cars as surveillance devices on wheels, Tesla has these cameras that monitor what's happening outside the car. And I suspect part of the reason for those surveillance cameras, again, is to send the footage back to headquarters to help them train their next generation of AI at Tesla. So a lot of the surveillance is going into AI training these days. And Tesla obviously is investing very heavily in that so that they can continue. I'm not going to get into Tesla and their poorly named full self-driving mode. But anyway, just know that Tesla cars are watching you when you walk past them. And so that means if there's a Tesla that's parked, a surveillance device on wheels that's parked, and a crime is committed, and I don't mean it's idling or something that the driver is in the car. No, I mean the driver has left. The human has left. The Tesla is just sitting there. Camera is getting surveillance footage. A crime, maybe somebody gets mugged or something, happens to be in range of the camera. The cops, when they come to the site of the crime, look around, they see the surveillance car sitting there, that is to say a Tesla, and they say, if we could just get the surveillance footage off of this surveillance car, that would help us crack the case. The problem is, the owner's not here. So what are we going to do? Can we find the owner? Anybody own this Tesla? Maybe they probably do more than yell it, but They're trying to find the owner. If they can't find the owner, you know what they do. They get the tow truck. And so if you own a Tesla and you park it and you leave and you come back and you can't find your surveillance car, it might be because the police want the surveillance footage off of the surveillance car and they had to take it without your knowledge or consent. And all you have to do is go to the tow facility and talk to the nice people there and retrieve your car. Sorry for the difficulty, the police will say, but we needed the surveillance footage. This is the environment that we are now in, where cars are going to be bristling with surveillance data. Now you could say, are they actually listening to my conversations? Let me point you back to my twist, the tectonic twist earlier in the show. Maybe they are today, maybe they aren't today. But again, look at the trajectory that we're on. That cars have surveillance devices that are going to be pointed externally and internally. If there's money to be made, if there is growth to be made for these giant companies by taking your data, they will take it. They may need to wait a little while until it's fully normalized in society. They know they can get away with it without a big PR blow up, or someone else does it first and they can quietly follow quickly behind them. Whatever it is, the surveillance is growing all around us. And if you want to escape this, there was an article, and I put this also on the playlist, How to Escape Honda's Privacy Hell. This is from May 6th. And someone tried to actually turn off the surveillance features in their new or recent model Honda, and they found it very difficult. Surprise, the car manufacturers don't want you to turn off the surveillance features in their surveillance cars because that means less growth for them. Don't you understand what your role is? You are there to be exploited. Why are you turning this off? And there's a researcher, Misha Rykoff at Mozilla, who worked on this important car privacy report. I think I covered it a few months ago. And by the way, the very worst performing car brand of all of them in Mozilla's privacy report was Tesla. Yes, it was Tesla. Worst, worst, worst. But anyway, Honda's in there. And this researcher says, they were asked, what actually can these car companies collect? And the researcher from Mozilla said, quote, pretty much everything. Sex life data, biometric data, that is to say measurements for your body, demographic, race, sexual orientation, gender, everything. And the article goes on to say that car companies can notify your insurance company that you brake too hard or you sped up too fast. They can share your info with law enforcement without your knowledge. And even a domestic abuser could access this data and use it to track your whereabouts. Basically, when you get into a surveillance car, your data is up for grabs. You don't know where it's going. You don't know who's going to have possession of it when you finish your drive. And there is almost no way to turn it all off because the car is designed as a surveillance device. And so, yes, friends, as I said at the beginning of the show, even more devices are spying on you. And that is the trajectory that we're on for future years. And Tectonic is going to be on it. I'm going to continue to keep you up to date as I see these developments because I don't know where else you're going to get a roundup like this. I actually don't know where else. And so I'm glad that I can actually attempt to provide this for you. And I hope you have found this helpful and maybe a little bit entertaining along with the outrage. And that is the first show of the eighth long season of Tectonic. Thank you again for being with me. You are listening to the greatest radio station in the world, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County, at 91.9 FM, and online all over the world at WFMU.org. Until next time, friends, you know exactly what to do. It's your homework for this entire long season. Avoid Apple, abandon Amazon, forget Facebook, and whatever you do, get off Google. And we're going out tonight with the John Fechner City Squad with 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11. Have a great one. Stay tuned for Dave Mandel.
And hello, good evening. Welcome to another installment of It's Complicated, an hour of Prague and Prague-adjacent music brought to you every Monday evening at 7 p.m. here at listener-supported WFMU. I'm your host, Dave Mandel. A pleasure always to be here, is what it is. Thanks for joining me. And we are going to jump right in with a small tribute to open tonight's show, and it is a small tribute to Herbie Flowers. Herbie Flowers was a bass player, an amazing bass player. He just passed away like in the last couple of days, I think. And he, it's funny because he's probably not a household name. Wouldn't normally be named when. Among the most common names of, you know, greatest bass players of all time or whatever, but he was great and he played. I mean, all I need to say is that he played two basses actually, upright bass and electric bass, on "Take a Walk on the Wild Side," Lou Reed. He played bass on "Rock On" by David Essex. He played bass on "Jump Into the Fire" by Nielsen. These are among like the greatest bass parts, the greatest bass riffs of all time. Really, he was an amazing bass player, Herbie Flowers. And he also did, oddly enough, I mean, he just played with everyone in the world. You know, look him up. The list of names is staggering. But he also, oddly enough, did a bunch of library music, library recordings. There's a bunch of records that in the KPM famous Green Label series, probably the best known series of library music albums, that he did, like just bass and drums, albums of not bass and drums like the genre bass and drums, but just albums of just bass and drums playing. And it's kind of odd. And there's a few of those that he was involved with. Anyway, why do I mention him? Why is this relevant at all to this show? Well, I'm going to tell you. No one would necessarily call him a prog bass player, although the guy could play anything in the world. But he did play with at least one band who I would call an outright prog band. And in fact, I played them on my show, on this show, maybe a couple months ago. But I'm going to play them again now. That band was Sky, that were active in the mid-late 70s. And Sky also featured, interestingly enough, Francis Monkman on keyboards, on harpsichord specifically, like, wow, harpsichord. And Francis Monkman played probably maybe the best known groups that he played with were Curved Air. And also he played with 801, the sort of short-lived Eno band, 801. Anyway, but we're talking about Herbie Flowers, really just an incredible bass player. And we're going to hear, again, a piece by Sky, the band Sky. This is going to be a track from their first album, which was released in 1979. It will be a piece called West Way, and I, you know, call me crazy, but I'm pretty sure I hear a King Crimson quote in here. You may or may not agree. Thank you. And that's the band Sky, featuring, among others, Herbie Flowers on bass. Really, a bass player's bass player, I would call him. And listen closely to, well, I mentioned some of the best-known songs he played, and I'm going to mention one other one, which is Space Oddity. I mean, it's just incredible, the records he played on. He played with Bowie for a while. But Space Oddity, the thing that I always say about Space Oddity is no one listens to the bass, right? You don't listen to the bass on Space Oddity. But listen to the bass on Space Oddity, because it's really incredible. That's, again, an early recording featuring Herbie Flowers, who played with Bowie for quite a while. Okay, enough of that.